This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I feel so blessed to be here today. I feel so blessed that I can be part of this show, and I'm so happy to have you with me today. This show is about pursuing passion, pursuing purpose, and pursuing connection. I, we all need that. How do we do that? Well, by listening in on this show, we're going to help you develop the tools in your arsenal that propel you toward the success God planned for you. Did you know that you can do all things, not some things, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Are you in need of passion, purpose, or connection? I know I am, and I know that I'm striving to get more of that and get in touch with that even more every single day. When you're distraught or you're feeling hopeless or vulnerable, you need to remember that God has equipped you with all you need to learn, grow, teach, and succeed. This journey is a process which you will be able to discover, give, and receive. It's the journey of life and all that embodies it. Let's learn to live our lives on purpose, for a purpose. I love that. Let's live our lives on purpose, for a purpose. And that purpose was the purpose that God had designed for you specifically. He created you for a specific purpose. And it's up to each one of us to live up to that and to do what he asks us to do, use the gifts he gave us so that we can give him all the glory. And I'm so excited today. I want to tell you, though, before we go into my guest, I have a special guest today. I'm really excited. Boy, what a prayer warrior she is. And I at the end, I'm going to ask her to pray for all of us because I'll tell you what, I just didn't want her to stop before the show. But I want to let you know that if you have to leave your car and you're in your car and you just tuned in and you have to get out of your car, you don't have to like turn us off and just forget about it. I hope you don't do that. But you can go into your home and you can go onto your computer and you can stream KKLA.com. And that just means turn on the computer, go up to that top line up there, put KKLA.com in, click listen live, and you'll hear the show live. And here's another thing you can do. You know, we're learning all these things that we can do now, is that if you miss it, or if you want to hear something that we've done in the past, because sometimes I refer to past shows, or if you know somebody, you hear something that you feel could really help a friend, a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, anyone. You know, it says to love thy neighbors as thyself, second biggest commandment, love thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. But secondly, it says to love thy neighbor. So if there's somebody, a neighbor, not literally a neighbor, but if you know somebody that needs to hear something that's said today, you can help them by telling them to go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And when you go on there, you can go on to the podcast by date, by guest, by subject matter, and you can find it, you can refer to it, and help your neighbor, your friend, your family member out. So I'm excited that we have all that to offer. We also have Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and all those good things. But getting into the show now, I want to tell you that this lady we're going to talk to is an evangelist. Her name is Dawn DeFreeze, spelled different than mine. And she is the daughter of Donald DeFreeze, the founder and leader of the Liberation Army, also known as the SLA, a group that operated in California in the late 1960s and early 70s. I remember that. I'm sure there's some listening that don't. Dawn's father is best known for his role in the kidnapping of Patty Hearst. That was huge news back then. Dawn will share how the absence of a much-needed father leads her down a road of hopelessness, illicit relationships, and utter despair. It turned out that that would be the very road to her redemption and to an encounter with her heavenly father. Dawn, I'm so happy that you're with us today.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for this opportunity to share what the Lord has done. Just hearing your introduction, it brings tears to my eyes with joyful tears to hear and to remember what the Lord has done with this.
Yes.
In my life.
And, you know, everybody does have a story. It doesn't matter what our walk of life is. We all have a story, and we can learn from one another's stories. And it could be just a little bit of something that we think is so minute and so non-important, but yet
right.
it can trigger something in a person's life where they could be at a crossroads where that one thing we say, and God is the guider, and he's the one that's guiding our words, and the Holy Spirit is right with us today,
absolutely,
as always. And so we're just going to go right into this. And Dawn, I am really thank you for coming on today. It's a privilege to have
you
on the show. What was your child home like? Your childhood home like? What was it like at home?
You know, considering all the craziness, as I'm sure you can imagine at that time, we had a lot of experience with cameras following us wherever we went. And I was an 8-year-old little girl at the time. I'm one of 6 children. I remember on occasions where we were scooped up by police officers and not allowed to play at the playground because we had discovered when my mom got home ahead of us that our home had been broken into. We discovered later on, we believe that most of the time it was by the SWAT team looking for evidence that would lead to where my father and the members of the organization were. So in light of all the craziness and what was going on at that time, I remember my mom. My mom was a pillar of strength, and she modeled more to me than she realized at that time just what a relationship with Christ would be about. My mom, although she never went to church, my mom would dress us kids. I don't care what kind of weather it was, but we were going to somebody's church, and out the door we went. And when we came home, she'd warm our mittens and our socks by the stove, and we'd get hot chocolate. But rain, sleet, or snow, we were going to church. I even recall that my mom would play the spiritual music throughout the house all the time. And as a kid, I'm sure you can imagine, I walk around with my fingers plugged in my ear. Little did I know that I'd be doing the same thing today. And I remember my mom sitting at us children at her feet where she would read to us the Word of God. And so my mom was my first pastor, although she never went to church. And I think of this passionate scripture where it says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, to train up a child. My mom didn't preach at us and throw the Bible at us, but she modeled, because we know that children learn more through modeling than any other avenue. And my mom modeled to us a relationship with God.
That's an amazing story. And I'm wanting hot chocolate right now just hearing you say that. There's something soothing about hot chocolate. On a cold day, there's nothing more soothing than hot chocolate with marshmallows, of course. Got to have the marshmallows.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you were raised and you did go to church.
I did go to church.
Okay, every Sunday?
Yeah, if I can recall. I'm sure there might have been one here or there that we didn't go, but for the most part, that's where we were every Sunday.
And how was the relationship between mom and dad?
Well, you know what? My father was absent. As you know, just read a little bit about my testimony.
Uh-huh.
There was no father in my home.
Mm-hmm.
However, later on, after the scenario with the SLA and all of that died down a little bit, life would be somewhat normal.
How old were you then?
And I remember I was 9 or 10, somewhere right in that age, because the onset of the Hearst story happened when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling this, that although I did not understand a lot of that, because my mom, like any parent, would turn off the TV, would shield us from the news. Pretty much all we knew was to not look at the cameras, and she didn't even divulge to us what was going on. But unfortunately, children can be very mean, and we learned from our peers. And so I remember feeling as a young child that I was different. And I remember feeling that something was a matter with me, because my dad didn't stick around for me, that he felt the cause that I knew very little about at that age was more important to him than this little girl that needed him at home. And so it began at that time, but I remember after things died down and life was returning to somewhat normal, even though a lot of our friends were instructed that they could not play with us anymore. We had a big enough crowd in our own family that we became our closest friends, and we still are today. But I remember my mom would meet and marry a gentleman, and I remember feeling so excited that finally I'll be like the other kids and I'll have a dad. But the relationship with my stepfather was not a healthy relationship. He was, just for the listening audience, because there could be children there, I will say that the relationship with my stepfather was sexually inappropriate. And mm-hmm. It sent a signal to my mind, to this young, impressionable mind, that in order for me to be loved by a man, any man, that I had to be sexual, that mm-hmm. I had to be something of that nature.
Hmm.
And that's where the journey in my life began to take me down all the wrong roads.
And, you know, that's a story that I've heard way too many times. You know, it's close to my heart. And I'm involved in the lady that I had on last week talking about
Wonderful.
Things like that. There's so many ministries out there that can help. But the thing is,
Wonderful.
Is that, you know, sometimes we just want to forget what's happened in our past, don't we? And
we do
to protect ourselves. We try to forget what's in our past. But to have a fierce conversation with ourselves to say, this is the reality and this is what's happened. And then to seek, you know, identify the problem and then seek help. And it says to seek Christian counsel, because mm-hmm. it's important for us maybe not to dig in so deep that, you know, you stay in your past, because
right.
your past is your past. But the
right.
thing is that if there is healing that needs to happen, we need to go through that healing process
Absolutely.
To realize. Because here's the thing that I have realized in my journey so far, looking for the future journey. But right now, the journey up to this point, what I've realized is that, like with you maybe, is that how did you realize the Heavenly Father love to be different than the only father love that you ever experienced? There are so many women that are not loved by their earth father.
Right.
And
right.
and it's hard for them because it doesn't compute how a Heavenly Father could love us unconditionally and just love us and die for us when we didn't have a earth father, you know, to do that.
Right, right.
So how did you make that? Well, I'm sure you're going to get into
journey,
your encounter.
The journey did not end there.
Uh-huh.
I was a wounded girl, but my teenage years weren't easier. I carried the shame of abandonment.
Uh-huh.
This lie of the enemy, and that's what
yes,
it is.
Yes, it is a lie of the devil.
In my mind,
yep. Yep.
that if my own father can't love me, then no other man will.
Exactly.
And I was very, I was a troubled teenager. I ended up being suicidal, depressed. I found myself pregnant as a teenager and married to an abuser.
Mm.
I spent a lot of years homeless because of the relationship with my stepfather. My mom and my relationship was damaged. I don't believe she intended for it that way, but I believe she needed to receive a healing of her own because she inadvertently blamed me, even though I was the victim child.
Right, and I've heard that many times.
Yes, yes, that is not new news, unfortunately.
But it still hurts deep.
Yes, and it damaged our relationship for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why at the times when I needed my mom the most, when I was a troubled, homeless teenager, my children, my two oldest children and I have spent many years in and out of battered women's shelters, running and hiding from this abusive husband that I had at the time. I recall a time when my son, who was just probably 6 months old at the time, he had put a 12-gauge shotgun to the back of my head, and he would play Russian roulette because it would keep me afraid of him, and I would do whatever he commanded me to do. I was basically, I don't know how else to say it, I was basically a married prostitute, and I would do the things that he would require of me to do, and I wouldn't fear for my life. I eventually gained the courage some number of years later when I became pregnant with our second child to flee for our lives.
Wow. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. We are We are syndicated now, and we go all the way to San Diego and all the way up to Santa Maria. So it's very exciting to know that we've got more listenership, and we can reach more people with these stories that can change lives, because we don't have to stay as a victim. We find the courage somehow. It's called survival to some degree, but we have to get past just the survival mode, don't we, Dawn? And I'm looking forward to your story in my heart. I mean, I teared up just then because it's just so sad. I mean, there's so many women out there that are staying in abusive relationships.
Right.
And it just breaks my heart. It truly breaks my heart.
It breaks mine.
Yes. And there is hope out there, ladies. Those that are listening, there's hope for you. There's ministries out there that are just made for you, because you're not alone. Don't feel like you are alone. You're not alone. How has knowing God as a father changed you, Dawn?
You know, the word of God is pliable to every area of our lives. For example, Romans 8:15 says, for me, this was crucial, because I was a timid, frightened girl in all of these relationships, selling my soul to the enemy to be loved. I remember there was times where I would sit. I'm an adult, young woman at this time. But I felt like there was a wounded little girl inside, and I would sit on the floor and I would cry, Daddy, Daddy, and I was an adult woman. But God's word says in Romans 8:15, we have not received again a spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And when I think about the rights of adopted children, I was adopted into a brand new family. And at those troubled times where I shared a little moment ago, where my mom even was not there for me, where God has made provision for us to have a family, it's called the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I have brothers, sisters. I have a spiritual father. I have my heavenly father. And when I recognize that God has made provision through his word for the absence of my father, it filled a void, a hole in my soul that I had spent most of my life trying to fill on my own in relationships.
What passage do you feel speaks personally to your circumstances? Is there one specific passage?
There's so many of them, but I would have to say that 1 Corinthians 1:27-28, it says, if I could recite parts of it, it just says,
oh, please do.
He's taken the weak things of the world, the ordinary things, the despised things, the rejected things. He's chosen those things of the world, and that finally said something to me. I didn't have anything good to offer this God that I had known about. I had walked away from him because religion had taught me, basically, that I had to be good to measure up. But this passage here tells me that God has chosen me specifically so that no man can boast, that we all have room in the kingdom of God. There's room for all of us. And I had felt through all of my life that I had nothing but brokenness and shame and ridicule, and I had nothing to offer him. And he says to me here that I've chosen you.
That is so awesome. Sometimes I just have to breathe that in.
Yes, I know, because we never measure up.
Right, we won't. We will never measure up, and it's not by works. It's by grace.
Amen.
And
amen.
I love that, because no matter how much we try to do everything we can do, that's not what God is asking. God is saying, I love you right where you are right now.
Right.
You don't have to do anything, my child. Just come to me, all who are weary, and come to me, and I will give you rest.
You know, and somehow, although I had been raised in church, I had somehow gotten in my mind, maybe based on the relationships and with humans, that I had to measure up, that I had to be good enough, that I had to perform, that I had to do all these things. And I had felt like I'm just this failure. I can never meet that mark. But you're right. It is not by works that we're saved. It's by grace through faith alone in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to evangelist Dawn DeFreeze, daughter of Donald DeFreeze, who was the leader of the Symbionese Liberation Army, also known as SLA, and was best known, I guess, for the kidnapping of Patty Hearst. And this goes back to the 1960s and 70s. And this is the daughter, and the daughter is talking about what it was like to be in that household and how God has redeemed and done a marvelous work in
Thank
you,
God.
Dawn. I mean, I just hearing your prayer before this show, I keep on going, Dawn. It's so
Praise
awesome.
The Lord. Praise
so
the
at
Lord.
The end, we are going to pray. Those that are listening, if you want to talk to Dawn or you want to talk to Sue, that's me, then I would like for you to call. The phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. I have people all the time emailing me after the show and saying, I wanted to call, but I just was scared. Don't be scared. Give us
right.
a call and talk to us. You know, because there might be something that you have to say, that there's somebody else listening, that you could save a life. You could change their choices. You could change the focus of the direction in which they are going. So don't think that what you have to say is minor or not important. And you know what's wonderful is God uses us. He uses all of us, no matter where you
right.
are in life. He uses all of us for his purpose. And so I'm just encouraging. I'm an encourager. That's one of my gifts. And I'm encouraging listeners to call in 888-995-5552 and let's talk. Let's talk about an issue you have. You don't even have to give a name if you don't want to. But we want to encourage you because we want you to know that you don't have to stay in a bad situation. There is help for you out there. And don't think that you're unworthy because God died for you and you alone. That was the most healing thing. When I was going through a real hard time, that was the most healing thing that I learned about myself is that God died. If it was only for me, he died only
Amen.
For me. And
Amen.
And that was, and I was washed white as snow, clean
Amen.
And ready to go
Praise
forward, right? And isn't
Praise
that amazing thing to realize
yes.
that? And that's what yes. God does. His love does
yes.
that. He washes us clean
oh,
and white as snow.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. So, Dawn, what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What does that mean?
Well, you know what? I had shared a little earlier, although I had spent a lifetime in church, even as a child when we were made to go, I remained in that lifestyle as an adult. But I had sat on those pews Sunday after Sunday and remained the same. And for whatever the reason was, it did not click for me. That Jesus died for me. And just like you had said, Sue, if I was the only one, for God so loved the world and Dawn, that he gave his only begotten son.
Did you write that in your Bible scripture?
Whosoever. You know, yeah. He says, whosoever. And suddenly I realized that, wait a minute, I'm a whosoever.
You are.
I'm a whosoever. I mean, I felt that I had not much to offer. But he made the personal invitation to me. I believe that religion in my life had taught me that I had to measure up to get God's attention. And John 3:16 tells me that Jesus did it all on the cross of Calvary for me,
mm-hmm.
that I simply had to receive this free gift.
And Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen
that's
to
the
that.
Difference in my life.
So Carmen from Glendale. Hi, Carmen.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Carmen
from Glendale. Hi.
Hi. I'm hearing reverb. Okay, so Carmen, what did you want to talk about? Carmen? I guess we lost her.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Anyway, so what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You started that, and then I kind of cut you off. Was there anything more? I'm sure there is. I mean, because God reveals himself in the most amazing ways, doesn't he?
He does. He's so thorough that way. And, you know, God's word tells us, he says that it's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. And it's so awesome to know that I can allow myself to be weak. That religion had taught me that I had to have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to know the Bible backwards and forwards, that I had to show up every Sunday, that I had to be good. And as far as I knew and as far as I felt and what was spoken to me in my mind by the enemy was that I measured up to none of that. That even though I showed up on Sunday, maybe perhaps as I sat on those church pews, wounded and dying inside, that hopefully maybe there'd be room for me. But John 3:16 says there's room at the cross for every last one of us. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter how far we've gone. I'll tell you, I love the story of the hiding place with Corrie Ten Boom. Mm-hmm. And she makes this statement. She says that there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not still deeper. There's a lot of my testimony that I have not shared, but I'm telling you, the statement that Corrie Ten Boom made, and I'm sure you can identify with this yourself, is that the love of God is far-reaching, that he is long-suffering, patient, kind, not willing that any should perish. And I know that he has demonstrated that love with me personally.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit to back when you were a teenager and everything kind of went awry when you had things that shouldn't be happening to teenagers happen to you, whether it's a father, a stepfather, brother, or a friend, or a neighbor, or whatever. It shouldn't happen, but it does
right.
all the time, more
that's
than we'll
right.
ever know.
Unfortunately.
And that's the secret that needs to be exposed somehow.
Absolutely.
And during that time, did you ever blame God, or did you get angry and say, why me, God?
I never blamed God because I don't think I ever really understood that it was a relational exchange, that God was there and I was here is what I've always understood, like I shared religion to be, that God is there and I got to get to him. And so I never blamed God because I didn't understand the relationship aspect of it. I never blamed myself. I think the need that I had was that I got to be loved. I want someone to love me. I remember being a young girl, always wondering, would my dad be proud of me? And what would it feel like to hold his hand and take a walk with him? Would I ever know what it felt like to sit on his lap? And so when the stepfather came, I believe the deepest cry of my heart was, will he love me? Can he love me? And I felt that my responsibility, based on his response to me, was that I have to make him love me. Whatever it took, I need to be loved.
Right. So the first father abandoned you. He was involved in all of that stuff that we heard about way back when.
Right.
And then your mother and him got divorced?
Yes, they did. It was some years later. I was a teenager, and it took me up into that point to speak out about it. I believe I started to act out, and the school started to question my behavior, my absence from school, things of that nature. Juvenile was involved, and that's when I began to speak. And that's when the relationship with my mom changed. I had become the pregnant teenager and was put out of the home with nowhere to go.
Mm. How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, goodness sakes. Wow. What happened with that? So what happened with that pregnancy? You carried the pregnancy?
I carried the pregnancy. I have two children
okay.
by my first marriage. I had a second marriage some number of years later that was not healthy. It wasn't physically abusive, but it was not healthy either. You know, and I want to say this, I really believe that the role of father, the role of a husband is so crucial.
Amen.
As a covering over our homes. Because see, to me, as a young girl, I never learned what a healthy male relationship looked like.
Right.
I never learned what my role as a wife would be. And so I adapted to whatever I was told it was.
Mm-hmm. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, Microwave Process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back from break, and Dawn was talking to us about what it was like in her house when she was young, and then her mom and dad got divorced, and then her mother married a stepfather, and because of the abandonment issues with the first father, she felt the need and desire to really do whatever was necessary to get the love from the second father, her stepfather, and that became not a good and healthy thing. We have Grace that's been holding Dawn, so we're going to ask Dawn, Grace, to come on. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi. Hi, how are you? I'm very thankful to hear you, and I'm very thankful with God that I'm available to listen to you, and I have the same situation. It's like God put me a video in my, I related with my daughter, but I don't know how to talk to her, and the problem here is I feel a lot of guiltiness, and I know God is my savior, and I already give it to him, but I still feel a lot of guilty in my heart because divorced my ex-husband. I married again, and my daughter, now she's in drugs and alcohol, and I'm not available to talk to her because every time when we talk, she's very upset with me. She never blamed me. She never said anything bad to me, but she ran away from me. And I don't know how to handle the guiltiness I feel.
I feel your pain, Grace. I really do.
Right.
Have you ever heard what your name stands for?
No.
The acronym for Grace is God's Riches at Christ's Expense.
Okay.
I just love that. What's your daughter's name?
Janice.
Janice?
Janice, yes.
Yes. Well, I feel so saddened by what you're saying, and my heart goes out. We all do. We make decisions, and we have to do what we feel we need to do at the time. I'm not clear on what you're saying as far as what part of what you're relating to with Dawn is, because, you know, Dawn was talking about there being illicit things going on between her and her stepfather. And so I'm not sure if that part of it is going on and that's why you divorced, or that's going on with the stepfather, or if it's because you divorced and you feel guilty because you divorced your first husband. And now your daughter is acting out and hurt, and so she's not wanting to talk.
Yeah, she's not willing to talk, but I know she's very angry for when I married again the second time. And but she never talked to me. She never said anything. And I asked her what's going on, and she never wants to talk to me about anything. And that's the part that hurting me the most. But I know there has to be something so deep and hurt in her that she's not available to tell me. I don't know.
So there's a secret, or there's something that you don't know about, probably.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Yes.
It's hard to get someone to express that. Dawn, what do you think?
I agree with you, Sue. You're such an encourager. That we can't assume that it's sexual abuse. We have to be fair to all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just encourage you to stay in prayer about it, to be in fellowship with strong believers about it, and I would take that concern to someone that you trust that perhaps can have more of a mediating relationship between you and your daughter, maybe that you not go directly to her and try to pry something out of her yourself. But she's guarded against you for some reason, and who knows, maybe it's just that she didn't want you to remarry outside of her father. We don't know what that is. We can't assume that it's always abuse.
Okay. Well, I don't understand.
Okay. Grace, the only added information is, yes, I agree with everything Dawn said, is that, you know, you have to put your faith in God and pray. But I always like to have direction on what is it, you know, what can I do? And all I can say there is that I'm praying for that conversation to happen between you
right.
and your daughter. There
right.
needs to be an open, honest conversation. Most of the times when I feel there's the most difficulty in relationship, it's from lack of conversation and being true to ourselves and being able to be honest and have a safe place to be able to talk about what's hurting and how we're feeling about things. Because once we get that on the table, then we can decide what we do about it. But if we don't know, and, you know, Janice, is that her name?
Yes.
You know, she's dealing, I don't know, how old is she?
27.
She's dealing with a lot of things. She's trying to figure out, you know, where does this all fit into her picture? How does this picture as far as for her future with her future husband and all of that? I mean, those kind of issues, there's a lot of questions that happen. And, you know, how am I going to be sure that my marriage will last? If, you know, how do I know if it's going to be Mr.
Right?
And, you know, there's all these things happening. That's her struggle. And there's an insecurity that happens when divorce happens. There's an insecurity that happens because that family unit has been broke up.
Okay.
So with all that, I would say pursue loving her. Just pursue
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
You know, it says in the Bible, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And all I can say is pursue love to your daughter. Just never fail loving her and just letting her know that you're there when she's ready. When she's ready to talk, when she's ready to open up, you know, just let her know and pursue her that you want to have that conversation. And
right.
you want it to be a safe place, Grace. And the hardest thing is for a person to start to open up and then it become not safe to talk. So if you become defensive in that relationship or in that response or in that conversation, if you start defending yourself instead of just taking it, you're the adult, you take it. Whatever she throws at you, you take it.
Right.
And let her open up and ask her to get in touch with how she's feeling, what she's thinking, you know, and down the road, you'll have your time. But right now, the focus should be on seeking to understand her, not to be understood. Seek to understand, not to be understood.
Right.
And for that, I thank you so much for calling. And my heart is with you and our prayers are with you. And you know what? I'm believing right now that this relationship between mother and daughter is going to be saved. It's going to be better than ever. And we'll believe that together, that it's going to be better than ever because God's in control and God's going to intervene and he'll be there. But
oh,
we have
yes,
to believe in it and we have to speak
yes,
that, Grace. So don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Hang in there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. And hang, you know, stay listening because at the end, we're going to have Dawn pray because she's an amazing prayer warrior. And we'll have her prayer for your daughter and for you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Much.
God bless you, Grace.
Bye.
Wow.
You know, I'd like to share this, Sue. That,
go ahead. Go ahead, Dawn.
It's been many, many years, but the Lord has done a complete restoration progress process between my mother and myself. Even my children and their fathers, I've been able to lead them both to the Lord.
Amen.
And their wives and pray with them. And so they're on their journeys with the Lord now.
That's awesome.
And God has restored the relationship between my mother and myself. It took him many years, but God is faithful to stand over his word.
Yes, he is.
He's the repairer of the breach, it says in the word. He's done that.
Yes. How has the Lord helped you come to terms with your past? How has he done that? You know, I mean, I want to hear more about your testimony. I want to hear more about what's going on and whatnot. We have a caller. Can you remember the question and let me go to the caller real quick?
Sure.
Okay, John Simi Valley.
Hey, Auntie Dawn.
Hey.
Hey, John. Beloved.
Yeah. How are you doing, Sue?
I'm doing great. And John was on the show 2 to 3 weeks ago and would not stop talking about this lady that I had to have on the show. So that's how this all came to be. So, John, you wanted us to say, where does someone go?
Yeah, basically the question is because I know Auntie Dawn, like, you've been there for me through basically the hardest time of my life when it's come to me losing my mother and just everything I had to go through with pulling the plug and just that whole situation.
I remember that, yeah.
So, really, what kind of advice or where would you have an orphan that is right around that age range, that is technically, you know, an adult over the age of 18 considered by the government, but really has a lot of growing up to do and haven't been there?
Oh, boy, I remember that with you, John.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see, it is the vision, it is the desire of my heart to fund a foundation, to start a foundation that would help those kids. And you're right, they're beyond the age of adoption, but they're nowhere near old enough to be living life on their own without the support of a family. And the best that I could do now, until we see something of that nature, and who knows, maybe there are programs out there like that that exist, other than the social agencies that we have in our community, which are a blessing too. But the best thing I could do to, or best direction that I could point them in, is the one that you're in now, John, that it's going to take the young folks like you to get out there and be a bridge, to be the hands and heart of God, to be the voice that would bring those lost or confused young adults into the house of God, where they could be just like me, just like you, adopted into the family of God.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm seeing this happen, and it's amazing to see what's happening. And yes, I think there needs to be a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. So, John, why don't you start that?
John knows that it's been in the working for a number of years, and so we'll see where the Lord's going to take it.
Yes, well, you've got to start already. Totally. It sounds like you've got to start already, John. I met that gentleman that went to the Harvest Crusade with us, and that's amazing. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. So the question was, do you remember what it was, Dawn?
How do I think the Lord has helped me to come to terms with my past?
Yes, that's a big question.
I shared a passage of scripture that I'm passionate about in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 and 28, where he says that he's taken the despised things, not just all the great things and those folks with the wonderful testimony other than mine, but he's made room for me. And he says in Romans 8:28, he says he causes all things to work together for good, which tells me that even just, I'm reminded of a passage of scripture in Job, the second chapter, where it says the sons of God came before the throne of God and Satan came with them. And that shows me there, as God has spoke to the enemy, and he said, have you considered my servant Job, when he was allowing the enemy to have room to wreak havoc in his life? We know the Lord does not cause some of the negative or some of the painful circumstances of our lives, but he does allow the enemy for a purpose that we do not understand right away. And Romans 8:28 backs that scripture in Job, the second chapter. God allows the enemy to do these things or to work havoc in our lives, but God promises that all those things are going to work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And it's given me a peace about my past that I know now that everything that I've gone through, every place that I've been, even the places that I should not have been, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God has a plan for it, because I've been able to go and minister to young women. I've been able to go to pro-life circuits and minister there. I've been able to go to church services and even minister there, because there's been young women and men sitting on church pews that have been wounded just like me, Sunday after Sunday, sitting there dying inside. And the Lord reminds me that all those things, he will use all those things if we place our lives in his hand.
We have to be an open vessel and ask the Lord to
Absolutely.
Use us as a servant, as his servant. I don't know if anyone else does this, but when I walk into church, I always say, God, where do you want me today? You know,
Amen.
I don't sit
That's
in the
good.
Same seat. I don't sit in the
That's
same seat
good.
Ever. I'm always sitting in a different seat. Why? Because I want to go where God wants me. And it's amazing what happens when I do that. It's amazing what happens. I mean, sometimes I'll get a word or something will just come in my head.
That is awesome.
And it is. It's neat because you know it's not you. It's not you. It's got to be God.
And I don't know about the next guy, but when I go to church, I'm looking for a word.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
looking for something fresh.
Yes, and that's good. The meat, not the milk, right?
That's right. I'm looking for something fresh.
Yeah, you know, people say, well, you know, there was a lady on the show in the past that her daughter was killed by a stalker. And it just broke my heart to hear the story. And the thing was is that, you know, she always talks about God being her hero and a gentleman because she was in a school, a classroom, because she was ministering to other people. And she said, the guy came up and said, well, where's your God now? I mean, how could you think there's a God if this is happening? But see, it's just like even personal with my life. It's like there's things that have happened in my life similar to yours in a lot of ways. Where I can say that I'm not ashamed and I'm not sad for what has happened. And I don't know how you feel about this. I feel blessed. I feel privileged because
Amen.
I feel that I have an empathy. I have a new one now because I'm handicapped or disabled, I should say, with my broken leg. But I have a new understanding about what it feels like to be in a situation, whereas, you know, I see it in the movies all the time. People say, well, what do you know about it? You know, and then the person will say, well, my mom died or, you know, I had an abortion or this or that. And so it does put you in a different place. And I don't feel less than. I feel that God is using
Praise
me
God.
In my life, just like your life. And why
Amen.
We're here talking is that to give hope to the hopeless, to let people
Isaiah
know that.
Isaiah 61.
Right. So there you go. So anybody that's listening to this story, listening to this show, understand this, that no matter where you are in your life, if you're depressed, the best thing you can do about depression is to go help somebody else.
Absolutely.
If you get off your bottom and you go do something, okay? I sat on my bottom for a month. I had to because I couldn't walk. But I have to tell you that there was life lessons happening during that time. And you know what one of the lessons are? Is that I had a conversation with my daughter during this time that maybe if I wouldn't have been stopped in my tracks, that I never would have had.
Right.
And it was an amazing, amazing conversation to where there was honesty that came out. And I'm so blessed for that time. So.
Wow.
We can be victims in our lives. We could say, oh, that happened to me, poor me. Or we can say, you know what? Yes, it happened. It's not God's fault that people make wrong choices.
That's
it's
right.
not God's fault. People have freedom to choice. They have freedom of choice.
Right.
Otherwise, we're puppets, right?
Right.
So he gives us freedom of choice so that we can make good or bad decisions. And so when bad things happen to good people, it's not God's fault. But God is there. God is there to hold us up, to walk us through, to carry us when we need to be carried. And that's the message, is that if you don't know our Heavenly Father, he's there for you, only you. If it was only you on this earth, he died for you. And you don't have to change anything in your life. Isn't that wonderful, Dawn, that we don't have to change anything?
Oh, praise
we don't have to clean our lives
we
up because it's
just as we are.
As we are. As we are. Amen to that. It's just so
just
wonderful to know that. So, do you like bragging about what's going on in your life? I mean, do you like that?
You know what? As far as I know, the Bible gives us permission in two places to brag.
No way.
One, to boast in our weaknesses.
Yes.
And like you had just said, I'm not proud of my past.
Right.
In fact, I can't think of a whole lot about my past that I'm proud of.
Right.
But I know if I don't share the brokenness of my past, if I don't share the weakness of my past, then I can't do the second place where the Bible tells us to brag. It tells us, if any man boasts, let him boast about the things of God. And, you know, if I don't show how broken we can be, because I think I'm special, but I don't think I'm so special that the enemy has only done this havoc in my life. But I know if I don't share the broken places in my life, I can't demonstrate how awesome, how great, how long-suffering, merciful, and kind this loving Father is that we serve. And so you do. You're right. I love to brag about the goodness of our God.
And he deserves to be bragged about.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Any chance we get.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to evangelist Dawn DeFries. And she's talking about what it was like living in her house. And, you know, she has kind of an interesting story. I mean, quite a story. And she didn't get into a lot of detail, Dawn. Is there anything else that you would like to share that you feel the Holy Spirit's leading you? Maybe somebody's listening and it would help them? It's all yours.
I love this passage of scripture in John chapter 6. It's a simple story, but the Lord spoke to me so powerfully a number of years ago. And it's in John 6 where the Lord goes to the mountain and he takes his disciples, and then the multitudes, thousands of them, follow. And Jesus says to his disciples to feed them, and his disciples say, well, send them away or they'll starve. And the Lord says, you feed them. So this is where the young lad stands up and offers his loaves and fishes. And what is the first thing that the Lord does with them? He breaks them. Reminds me of Isaiah 53, verse 10. This is the passage of the suffering servant, Jesus our Lord. And the Lord says in passage 10, he says, it was the Lord's will to crush him, which says to me, the Lord cannot use anything that has not been broken through adversity or suffering or circumstances. He can't use it first. He's got to crush us, and he allows the enemy to take us down roads because he's building a testimony. But it didn't speak to me so much there where the boy offered his loaves and fishes, because to me at the time, I said to the Lord, that looks like the best part, and I don't have anything that good to offer you. But it was in the passage 12. It was in John 12, 6:12, where he says, gather up all the fragments so that nothing is lost. And the Lord spoke to me personally there. Gather up the broken places of your life, even the shameful places, the parts that you don't want to talk about, and give those to me because I can use them both. And I would say to the listener, if you felt or you heard something in what you've heard tonight and you're saying, that's me, I'm telling you today that the Lord has room for you, that God has made room for you, every area of your life. If you turn away and give your life to Christ, he'll use you every place you've been. He'll send you back to redeem those that have been hurt and those that have been lost.
Amen, Dawn. I do have Moses waiting to say something on the air. And before he comes on, I just want to say that, you know, I know some people that have lived their lives and they've tried to live their lives with no regrets. And I want to say to those people that you don't have to have these horrendous things happen to you to be used.
Oh, no,
and,
no,
and, you
no.
know, I've had people that live and walk a life of purity and everything.
God.
And they're saying, I don't really have a testimony. I mean, who's going to want to listen to me? And I'm saying, you've got the best testimony of all.
Amen.
Because you've lived a straight and narrow life. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we have
Lord.
Struggles? No.
We're still all sinners.
Yes. So I want to clear that up, that we don't have to have this huge, horrendous story. So
right,
don't go and make things bad happen. Let's stay on the good road, too. So,
right.
So Moses, what did you like to say? Hi. Moses?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Moses.
I want to thank you, ladies, for bringing up this subject that I believe is so important, because I don't know if out of 4 out of 5 children have been abused or have had a rough childhood. That was pretty much my situation.
Yes.
And two things that I would like to point out that God has put in my heart. First is the understanding of that I have to go through all these difficult times in my childhood to develop compassion.
That's right.
Especially compassion for those, you know, that have gone or are going through the same situation that we have gone through, which is abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, and then not understanding why. But I'm grateful to God that has given me understanding that I'm chosen.
You are.
Amen.
Amen.
With
Moses,
respect,
that is
gave me the opportunity to experience forgiveness, which I think is the most important ingredient that we have to apply into the equation of suffering.
Yes, you're right, Moses, and thank you so much. And I can feel in your voice the pain, but the healing that's happening. Dawn, we're out of time. So what I'd like for you to do right now is I'd like for you to pray for Moses, Grace, and Janice. Could you do that for us?
Jesus. Lord, thank you, Father, that it was divinely appointed that these three listeners would come, Lord, and receive your healing and the word that you would have, that you would have for them on tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would continue the healing process, the restoring process in each one of their lives, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would send them out as messengers of your gospel of healing, of your gospel of peace and restoration. I pray for Grace, Lord, and her daughter Janice. Father God, that you are the restorer of relationships. I pray, Father God, that you would divinely intervene and open the door for there to be a line of communication, Lord. I pray for the grace and forgiveness to flow from their hearts in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for Moses, that you continue to bring healing and revelation, that you've chosen him and that you've called him for such a time as this, and you will use him to bring that same compassion and healing to others. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're doing the work that you set out to do in each one of our lives, Lord. I pray for the listener, like Sue said, Lord, that would perhaps think, my life hasn't gone down these horrendous roads, but Lord, what greater testimony are those who never had to walk in that same darkness. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring healing, that you bring restoration, and that you continue to bring revelation.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, Dawn. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Till next week. Bye-bye.
Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.